On this episode of Football 301, defense. Defense. Charles McDonald joins me to continue our breakdown of defensive prospects. We look at linebackers, safeties, and corners. A lot of fun, starting at the top with Travis Hunter, but a really, really fun class. All three positions, actually, too. There's even some linebackers to talk about. A lot of fun show with Chuck. See you guys in a sec. Hello and welcome to Football 301. I'm your host, Nate Tice. Super fun show today as we continue our draft prospect series, continuing on the defense. We are doing that today, looking at linebackers and defensive backs. We did defensive line and edges, just one big group last week, and it almost took 2 hours. It was a deep class, and we couldn't help ourselves. Who the Scorsese that went for 2 hours with me on defensive line and edges last week is continuing on defense this week is my friend Charles McDonald. How are you doing today, Mr. Vertz?
I'm doing good. If we do 2 hours today on DBs, I might not come back for the next podcast. Because, this is the bit that people who know me, and I'm sure you know that I have, we're talking about real football players. I don't know. The cornerbacks, I don't really know if I consider them real football players. Last week I was juiced up to talk D-line, juiced up to listen to your dad talk O-line. You know, that's more my jam, but these guys, we'll see.
I know we missed some theming last week. Could have called it trench week or something like that. I didn't even pick up on that until literally as you said it right now that we talked defensive line and offensive line. That was even playing. That was just me just filling in shows. So last week was trench week. So make sure to check out those podcasts. That was a lot of fun. They are offensive line class. Even before talking with my dad, I had considered it quite underrated, I think, by the consensus. And I think it lived up to that, even with our discussion. There was a little bit more fun with that class that I think people kind of giving it credit for. So, but interesting DB class and actually a couple linebackers to talk about this year, which would be pretty fun. One really true off-ball linebacker, Jahan Campbell. We'll talk about that at the end of the show. And also another one in Jalen Walker, who we hinted at last week because he might be an edge, might be off-ball linebacker. We're going to talk about him today from Georgia. And the other linebacker, I'm previewing all this. This is the end of the show. But Carson Schwechinger, UCLA linebacker, another player we'll talk about, and also someone I interviewed. And that will be at the end of the show. Really fun talking to Carson. I'm also jealous of his social media habits, which are none. Really, really jealous of that aspect of his life. But anyways, let's start with some defensive back, Charles. Let's start with some cornerbacks, which I believe are the stars of the defensive backfield, I think. Premium position, I guess, if we want to call it that. But corners, if you want to find a good one, you usually have to draft one high. And there's a couple, I won't say a couple, there's a handful of really good corners, including the number one player on both of our big boards, which I will put with a bullet. I am not changing when we update that big board in a week or two. So that will be our number one player. I'm going to guess when we go into the draft next month. Heisman Trophy winner, plays both ways, but we're going to talk about him corner today. That is Travis Hunter from Colorado. Wow. What a football player Travis Hunter is. We'll talk about more of the receiver aspect of his game next week when we do receivers with Matt Harmon, which is his fastball. Can't wait to talk about receivers with Matt. But Charles, why is Travis Hunter the number one player on your big board, the number two player on the consensus board only after Abdul Carter, and just the Heisman Trophy? We're just worthy of all this talk and buzz and excitement if you have never watched a single snap of college football in the last couple of years.
Oh, man. I know we're not talking about offense too much, but like the reason why he's the number one player is because like you incredibly build out a case from being a first-round pick at quarterback and wide receiver. You know, where you differ maybe on like what the ceiling or what the floor is from a wide receiver, but I think as a cornerback, man, this is about as good as it gets, you know? I actually went back because I wrote up a quick thing about just what makes him such a special player last week for the website Yahoo Sports. And man, the cornerback film I think is just out of this world, especially you know, once he gets a chance to really just show off the traits, especially in man coverage with the speed, the length, the ball skills. I kind of struggle to think about how many holes I think I have in this game. Maybe you want to see him get a little bit bigger for, you know, coming down and tackling NFL players once he gets to the league. But still, there's so much to like here from a coverage standpoint, whether it's man coverage, He's got good feel for zone coverage too, and some of the instincts to make plays out of his zone and still the athleticism to drive and finish on those plays. I think he's a really special player. And also what I like about him too is the willingness to go out there and be a playmaker. You know, he's not a guy who's going to wait and let things come for him. He's going to take advantage of the gifts that God gave him and go out and try to make some plays. I think that that just makes him the number one player in this class. He's number one cornerback in this class. And I think that any team that drafts him to play cornerback, you're getting someone who can be a CB1, one of the best players in the league, like, right off the bat.
Yeah, I agree. He's special. That was the word you threw out there. And I agree with special at corner. Like, I really, not only just his athletic gifts, just the feel. He just has that feel for corner. And I wish I could like describe it better or could have a better word for it. But it's just really, he knows how to play the position. He knows in zone how to bait quarterbacks. And it's not, again, theory. It's actually stuff he does and shows. Just watch the UCF game. I mean, he makes a couple plays where he should be trapped in a high low, and he's able to cover two guys by himself, truly, because he knows how to show when the quarterback's looking and break on the ball when it's actually thrown and make a play on the ball, because that is why he can play receiver too. He has special, rare, elite ball skills. Like, I mean, some of the best I've ever seen in my entire life. I mean, Randy Moss is the class of that. That is the epitome of that. And Travis Hunter is not that far behind. Like, that is just because he just comes down with the ball. He knows how to contort his body and make plays on the ball. And this is usually corners have to play corner because they can't play receiver. So this isn't theory. This is the guy that can do it. He has the twitch and the body control to play man coverage and press. He has length. He's not the biggest, you know, thickest guy in the world, but you brought that up that maybe he plays one way. You know, we talked about this more, plays less snaps, fewer snaps, that, okay, he maybe add 5 pounds, just get a little bit more of a little bit more bulk on him. But I would say that's the one blemish I have him at corner. I'll talk about more about him playing receiver next week, but I think he is a valid receiver. I just think the role to me, ideally, full-time corner, and then drop him in for 10 to 12 plays on receiver, because I just think mentally that is an easier ask, and neither are an easy ask to play both ways. I think the mental aspect of this is so hard, but at corner can play man, can play zone, can truly make plays on a ball, a rare athlete. I just want to also talk about a willing tackler, at least when the games were mattering more, I would say. when they were tangibly, you know, ranked and everything, they weren't out of the game. He's a competitive player. I think just at the tail end of the season, just the semantics changed. But the Baylor game, the forced fumble he had at the goal line, that was just, I mean, literal nose for the ball. Like, this, that's what Travis Hunter has. And that forced fumble against Baylor at the goal line, ran down a player at UCF. Benjamin Watson'd it. Came from all the way opposite side to run down a guy at the goal line. That's just competitiveness. That's the type of player he is. He's a true needle mover. And that's what you take in the top five of the draft. I think it's just easy number one player type. What do you think? I kind of spoiled my answer, but what do you think is his ideal role in the NFL? At least maybe for the first year or two of his career.
I think it's playing cornerback and starting there. You know, because I think you play cornerback and you play some role on offense. Even that is going to be kind of difficult because you have to figure out a way how to put him in the game without just telegraphing what you're doing. You know, you can't let him go like full gadget player. I think you're going to have to make him run, you know, some real stuff on offense if you want that to be a role. But it's more feasible to me to see someone play cornerback and then, you know, you come down offense for a handful of plays than to do it vice versa, where you're playing wide receiver full time and you hop out there on cornerback on like a key third down. Like, that's, I don't know, that sounds kind of crazy to me with just how much work goes into a defensive game plan, how much work goes into knowing the coverages, and, you know, the chemistry you have with your teammates to just kind of pull that in and out throughout the game seems a little crazy to me. But man, starting at cornerback, like I said, I think you got one of the best in the league, like someone who can be a real cornerback one, and then on offense, if you want to do it that way, maybe as like a third, fourth wide receiver that gets some, you know, determined touches, but without blowing the whole game plan. Because, you know, there's some teams where, you know, you won't think about it. Oh, the guy's in the game, they're going to run this play, and that could be a detriment for you. But with a good team, I think they can figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking too. It's like, you don't want to also give it away. Like, he's only in the game. And I think when people think, oh, 10, 12 plays, he's a package play guy. I'm not saying just gadgets. And that's what you're kind of saying too. It's like, I'm not saying just jet sweeps, reverses, and screens. It's like, no, actually, he's just in the game for 10 to 12 plays. And I think it's just day one, day two install plays where it's just nice and clean for him, as opposed to like, okay, just hyper manufacture things, like truly grow his game as a receiver. Cause I do think he needs more growth. We'll talk about that more next week. But I think also mentally playing DB has been kind of underrated in this process, or just how hard it is to play mentally at defensive back now, not just safety, corner as well. Not even talk about slot, which has to do everything. But corner in the at the NFL level now, it's so much match coverage. You have to know the offense you're playing against. You have to know their most common route concepts. You have to know your matchups. Also, the stuff like blitzes and creepers and stuff are more complicated now. Outside corner, mostly going to stay the same, but there's some stuff where teams are inverting coverages as well. So that's going to be more of an ask. I'm not saying it's the hardest thing in the world to learn. No, but it is a learning curve. So that's why I just think it's, we take it slow before we're saying, play this guy 100 snaps a game. Like, let's let him master one position, which I think is corner is the most likely path for that. Again, I'll talk about why the receiver stuff next week, but I just think offensively it's just going to be more of an advanced ask from where he's at right now. So let him play corner and be elite at it. I think he could be a very good player very early. Moving on to a player I had just ahead of Hunter for a little bit there, because this is another corner that has the build of one of those number one elite kind of guys. And that is Will Johnson from Michigan. He's number 9 on my board right now. Might bump up slightly. Charles, he is number 2 at your last updated big board. And he's number 6 on the consensus board. Two wars? No, but Will Johnson, just to set, battled some injuries this year. Has not timed yet at the time of this recording. But had definitely, I would say, just unanimous opinion here, better 2023 film than 2024 film, just probably because he was healthy and on a much more competitive team, I would say too. But why do you have Johnson so high, Charles? What are his strengths of his game? What do you envision him potentially at the NFL level?
Like you said, it's the 2023 tape mostly. You know, I can't quit it. I can't get out of my head.
I get it.
Because to me, that was just like shut down, dominant. Like, oh my God, I don't, because when I watched Will Johnson 2023, I was like, oh, I only have to think about this guy next year. That's just a certified, bonafide top 3 pick. You know, click, shut it, case it, it's done. But obviously this year he didn't have the year that he wanted to have. Maybe it's because you said Michigan, they weren't going anywhere this year. Sometimes you have these guys on teams where they're looking at it and they're like, you know, we're 3-3, we're 4-6. My ankle hurts a little bit. Yeah. You know, I think I'm out of here. Which, yep. Hey, the NFL has shown they don't really care about at the end of the day, when they, because guys do this every year. Guys have sat out whole seasons
out for COVID,
right?
Yeah, 2020. So no
didn't
one cared.
Didn't impact the stock at all, really. Maybe some rumblings you hear about like character concerns with him, or, you know, just getting him locked in. But I really do think a function of that was probably just Michigan had nothing going on this year. And if you're someone who has that much like money at risk, why would you keep going? I guess that's kind of how I look at it. I know not everyone's going to agree with that, but I still just think the 2023 film was so dominant, like just a CB1 shutdown eraser type, in man coverage, zone coverage. I think he would fit really every type of defense that you're trying to run. And it's kind of like Travis, you know, it may be not the same because I think Travis maybe has a little bit better ball skills, but Will at his best, no slouch in that department. And he's a little bit bigger than Travis too. So I really just like the idea of him being able to come and match up against like bigger X receivers physically, no problem. Still the ball skills, still the ability to come down and tackle. It's just more about, you know, after the year he had last year, which version of him are you getting? But I still think it's probably going to be closer to 2023 than 2024, which is why I still have him so high up on the board.
Yeah. And what we were talking about at the beginning, it's like, is that an issue or not? Like a guy maybe turning it off during their last year. And it's just every prospect is different. You know, sometimes it's a thing that you have to look into. And sometimes it's just like, whatever, this guy is a pro and he was just reserving himself. Christian McCaffrey is one of the first guys that ever sat out a bowl game. No one seems to remember that. Yeah. Hey, why am I playing this bowl game? I'm going pro. I'm going to be a top 15 pick, you know? So with Johnson, though, watch the USC game, even if you want to watch this season in 2024 and be optimistic about it. watch that game and watch the pick six. And that's the pick six is why you like Johnson. Okay, there you can just see the size first and foremost. But then it's he is another guy, and I know I just talked about Hunter having this. He just has a feel for playing the position. He has good eyes. Like, he knows how to play high lows. He knows how to use body positioning. The lack of 40 kind of him not wanting, being too keen on running it outside of just health, is he probably doesn't have elite long speed or good long speed. It's more just eh. But he helps himself out because I think his body positioning is really good. You know, he's like a defender in basketball that's like, oh, he's a good defender, but he's not like an elite athlete. I don't know. The guy that came to mind, and I don't know if this is a good one, was because I'm trying to compliment the guy, was I was going to say like post-injury Sean Livingston, who's actually my neighbor here in Vegas. and I love Sean Livingston, one of my favorite basketball players. But when he was with the Warriors, he was kind of just, you know, he can move it as he used to be able to because he absolutely blew up his knee. But he was really just knew how to get into spots and knew how to be. He was such a smart player with some length and great size that he was able to just know how to play it. So I don't know. That's kind of what I went with. But I don't know. I'm still bullish on Johnson. He's an easy top 10 player to me. Like I'm this is the lowest I've ever been, and that's 9, you know. And I think maybe he'll creep up a couple spots if I, you know, as I marinate on this. But I just. It's hard to teach his size and those ball skills and enough speed. Like, he passes the threshold to me. I don't think this is a Jeff Okuda situation, you know. Right, like right. I think he has more twitch than that and more fluidity than that. So, but yeah, I think he's just a very good player, very good corner. Let's move on to the next guy, who actually I'm pretty excited to talk to you about because we've got both been kind of bullish on this guy, and I actually have his name pronunciation right finally, and that is Savone.
Right. Oh, wow. Okay.
Savone. Yep. Okay. Ravel. I'm sorry. Savone Ravel from East Carolina. Not Siobhan. Nope. Savone Ravel from East Carolina.
No SH there? No SH nope. Sound there? Okay.
Nope. I watched an interview with him. He said, it was a really fun interview. I should find the credit or source from it. Someone asked him in January, like, oh, we've been saying your name wrong the whole time. And he like corrected. He goes, I was waiting until I became a player in the NFL to maybe use that as like a little trivia tidbit. You know, I don't know. I just like the answer. Like, he was just like, yeah. I just wanted to wait to correct people. I wasn't anybody. I didn't want to correct him. I don't know. I like that answer. I have an instance of that personally with Monty Ball at Wisconsin. His real name is Monte. And he never really? Corrected anybody. Yeah. Huh. And he didn't Broncos correct anybody.
Monte Ball too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Until he went to like the Heisman ceremony. And he was like, actually, my name's Monte. I just didn't have the balls to correct anyone as he's going to the Heisman ceremony. But anyways, Savone Ravel Jr., 26 on my big board, 22 on your big board, 44th on the consensus. And I'm going to guess this is being in East Carolina and then hurting his ACL in September this year. But why, and I'm with you here, why is he 22 on your big board? And I mean, shoot, I think an easy first round pick.
Yeah. I mean, to me, 22, that's with the ACL ding. Honestly.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's awesome.
I do too.
I guess one of the questions I have is, how'd you end up here at ECU?
Yeah.
Because there's just so much to like on film. I think we start digging through it. He's got all the traits that you want from an outside cornerback that can actually play, you know, not like shut down CB1 level stuff, but close to it on the outside. He's got the length. I think he's got great speed that really shows up against some of these lesser opponents that they've been playing against at ECU during his time there. Like, you know, there's this point where Travis Hunter was at Jackson State. And when Travis and Shore were with Jackson State, and dude, like, it's just snuff film, like after like body after body after body, and it kind of looks like that for Ravel sometimes when he's at his best when the ECU is playing these games. I know I've dropped the comp on here before, but you know, small school. You look at the length, you look at the speed. I just get kind of like Dominique Rodgers Cromartie vibes. Who went around like the 16th pick?
You know who my comparison is?
Who?
Antonio Cromartie.
Yeah, okay. But you right. So it's on the same wavelength, same family.
Archetype, yeah.
Same archetype.
But continue. Continue
with Dominique. Was like, yeah. Dominique, he was like 6'2", 185, ran blazing fast in the 40.
Long, too.
Long, right. All those athletic skills, they transferred to the NFL. He was able to have a pretty damn good career when it was all said and done. So that's where my brain went. I was trying to stick with the small school comp, but stayed in the same family. It's the same thing, you know, long, athletic, speedy corners. Right. So as long as his knee recovers, I really don't see a way he doesn't end up at least like a solid starter that can maybe end up as like maybe a high variance guy that ends up with the ball in his hands a good amount. But if he's at his best, he's fully healthy. I think this is like a long-term starter at cornerback. In the NFL.
I'm fully with you. I think he had a full season of tape, didn't hurt his ACL, where everyone's going, oh, this is easy top 20. This is this year's Quinyon Mitchell. You know, like this is, I would just be an easier boxes to check if he had like the Senior Bowl and all those things, but he got hurt. But I mean, 6'2", 30, almost 33 inch arms, and just a really good athlete that actually plays like a good athlete. He's not stiff. Like, he's long-legged, but he plants, turns. You mentioned, like, how it looks like in small school stuff. Like, you want to have best player on the field-itis when you're watching guys like this. And when you watch Ravel run after a guy, you're like, oh, yeah, that's the first rounder. That's the guy hawking a guy all the way across the field. Like, actually, there's a play, and I think a few people have noticed it because he only had a couple games this year. He's running with a crosser and he almost overruns the crosser because he's so much faster than the guy he's guarding, even though he's giving him space, which is just, that's what you want to see. But why I said Antonio Cromartie, but same thing, was big, long-legged corner, also was coming off an ACL injury. He was a first round 19th overall pick to the Chargers in 2006. He was the exact same height, I believe, as Ravel. He was a little bit bigger. He was over 200 pounds. Long, same thing, ran a 4.52, and again, that was coming off an ACL. I think Ravel is twitchy, long. He is what they look like. It's just that it's, you know, you have to wage the risk reward and you have to be realistic about that. But I do think I'm with you. This is the long-term outside starter. Like, these are what these guys look like. And I think if someone's patient and has the situation, the ecosystem to let him come along from his injury, like, you can really find a guy in the 20s, that guy that usually this type of player and this type of skill set is, you have to use a top 10, top 12 pick on to find this type of archetype. I think anyone listening can tell that we're both pretty bullish on him. But we're going to move on to our last guy that we both have in our top 50s and is in a consensus top 50. And that's Jahdae Barron from corner, column, slot, I'll put him as, from Texas. Mm-hmm. 29th on my board, 33rd on your board, 15th on the consensus. I think it's a little rich, but yeah. I haven't really talked about him, but don't want to put words in your mouth. I do like this player. But what did you think of Barron, Charles, and where do you envision him in the NFL, maybe his best role? Because he's a little bit of a Swiss Army knife type that's played a little bit of everywhere at Texas.
Yeah, I think I might bump him up after he ran the 4.3 at the combine, because that was a concern that I had for him. It just seemed like the long speed sometimes on film wasn't always there. But what I really do like and what I think profiles him to a slot receiver is he works well in like condensed areas and he's not afraid to hit, like, just to keep it simple. Yep. Because he's a guy, I think he's really good when it's a shorter concept and he can break on the ball, or sometimes even against screens, he's pretty good at like beating a blocker and making a guy, making a tackle in the backfield. So those are kind of the traits that you look for when you're looking for slot guys. I just thought, you know, sometimes on the deeper stuff, it seemed like he would get lost a little bit on the back end. And sometimes, you know, it wasn't always the cleanest reps, but you know, just moving forward, that's why I really like him. Even there's some clips of him blitzing like through the middle of the offensive line that I think will give your next defensive coordinator, his next defensive coordinator, just some ideas on where you can place him. I think we've had him mock to the Vikings a bunch of times in our mock drafts. And when you just watch him, like, yeah, you know, it's a little bit of fan fiction. But I think especially now that you got Murphy locked down for the long term on the outside, you can just kind of put Barron there and let him be a little bit more valuable at coverage weapon than they had in the slot last year. I don't know. I just think when you watch this game, you watch the you team run the 4-3 in the 40s, so maybe you get some, you know, you ease some concerns about the deep speed, which is still always going to be a thing in the NFL. But I think we watch the blitzing, the ability to come forward and make a tackle, the ability to beat blocks in space. There's just a lot to like about the slot cornerback. I think he'll probably get a little boost from me, but you know, I don't think he's quite in the same breath as the three guys we talked about before.
Yeah, I agree. And why I really like the player, and he's a good football player, which is what you want from a slot. And I totally agree with you that I think like the long speed, I actually had concerns about, like even my number one note on him, I have it up here right now, has short area twitchiness better than overwhelming long speed, good moving in a phone booth. And it was like, that's just kind of like more just that little area of the slot where he plays outside corner, played outside corner a bunch this year, but I view him more as a safety slot. Like he is in the NFL. I don't view him as an outside corner, which then is why I value him differently than his other three guys, like you just mentioned as well, where yes, they might have similar grades, but their roles are what is harder to find, what is rarer to find. You know, I think you can funge those slot safety guys, even though they are valuable in the NFL. It's like the difference between like a guard, you know, interior guard, center, and a tackle, and how you value them. It's harder to find a starting tackle than as a starting guard, even if you do value a slot or a guard. But man, good tackler, good working in zone, good feel. Like you mentioned, good coming down on blitzes. I'm glad you mentioned the bubble and screen stuff, because that's where he'll blow some stuff up, which is fun. Yeah, just a good football player. I think he's a slot. I think he's more of a safety slot type. Also really good defending tight ends, which is important. His film against Colson Loveland in Michigan was really good, which kind of made me optimistic about, again, what his role is in the NFL. You know, not sure if he's the caliber of this player, but which is ironic because he's probably going to get drafted higher, but it's what Brian Branch is for the Lions. That's what you're hoping Barron is for him. That's the epitome. Or Witherspoon, who's really primarily slot and corner for Seattle. But those types, that is what you're envisioning with this, which is a starter and a guy that everybody could have a role for. So even though we like the Vikings one a little bit. So there's a couple guys here. Just a little bit. It makes sense. You have a couple guys in your top 50, which I'm not like knocking you on. They are just outside mine. Like they made my top 60, but not my top 50 if I'm splitting hairs. One's Benjamin Morrison from Notre Dame. 45th on consensus, 32nd on your big board. I was high on him before the season. Then he got a hip injury, and that's a little scary for me.
Yeah.
But why are you going to keep Morrison up there? Not to put you on the spot, but also why do you like him? Because there are some strengths to his game.
Oh, I it's funny because when I was watching him, I think the guys that we're about to talk about, because we're going to talk about Maxwell Harrison from Kentucky too. If I could just like merge them together into one player, that would be the ideal scenario for me. Because I think we look at Morrison, it's not like super scientific, or I don't know how well projects the NFL, but dude, he's just always making plays out there for the defense. Like he's always getting his hand on the ball. He's not the biggest guy. I think you can even see when he's in coverage, he's not the fastest guy. Like there's a lot of stuff where he'll like in a soft zone, and then maybe he'll drift underneath and pick the ball off and make a play on the ball, more so than playing just like pure man, like one-on-one coverage. But I don't know. I like him a lot. If you're a team that, oh, we already got like a big dog in our cornerback room, maybe we could add someone like this who can take some chances on the ball and hopefully get the ball back to our offense. And I understand that he's probably going to be a guy that gets beat a handful of times in the NFL, but I just like his instinct to make plays, his instincts to get his hand on the ball, and, you know, just to be a productive player out there. We'll see what happens with the hip injury. You know, he's not the biggest guy either, like I said, so maybe you're worried about injuries when it's all said and done, but still, just a really productive player last year for Notre Dame before he got hurt, the year before that. And I think what he's good at, maybe he's more of a slot, what he's good at, maybe he translates more to a slot receiver or slot cornerback role, but still, I think he's a productive starter for the NFL moving forward.
And another guy, like, God, there just seems so many guys in this class. His 2023 film is better in 2024 because he's a little bit healthier. His film, though, against Marvin Harrison Jr. was really good last year. Actually stood out a little bit in that game where he was making some plays on him too. And that kind of speaks to what you're saying. It's like, he's maybe not the overwhelming speed or anything like that, but he's kind of feisty and quick and feisty, you know, like that's just how he plays. And like, he's willing to like, he knows how to do it. Like he knows how to just make plays on the ball, can get caught sometimes, doesn't have anything overwhelming. So I like him though. Like obviously I had him high before the season, but it's a weird injury. So it's, so I just got, I think we're like somewhere where the consensus is maybe a little bit lower is where I'm going to end up on him. I still like him. And then I like this other guy, but Maxwell Harrison, you mentioned him, 49th, just snuck in on your top 50, 38th on the consensus board. Absolutely flew at the combine, ran a 4.28 40, 5'11", 183 pounds, 31-inch arms though. Has some length to him. But why did Harrison sneak into your top 50, Chuck, and why do you like him?
Oh, it's just the speed.
Yeah, speed, you know, kills, just, buddy.
it speed kills. Sometimes I can just be kind of a junkie for some of that stuff. So
I get it.
And like you said, it's not like he's the smallest guy out there. He's got the length. More than enough speed running the 4.2, and I think it shows on tape. Because he's kind of a funny guy where you watch him in coverage and he's not always the fastest to like diagnose or maybe break on where he's supposed to be, but he has the speed to make up for it. You know, it's kind of like watching a big arm quarterback that's still kind of raw in some of the facets of the game where you're like, oh man, you're a tick slow, but you can fire it so fast in there. Sometimes it doesn't matter that you're slow. And I think that's where his game kind of shines. Sometimes he can be like maybe a little too aggressive coming downhill, trying to jump routes, because he knows if he can get his hand on the ball, there's probably going to be a pick six. He did do that a couple of times throughout his career, but I really just like the speed, the aggression, the length. I think he's at least going to be like a solid cornerback too for someone, because you have like the inherent playmaking abilities with what comes with his physical gifts.
Yeah, I'm kind of, again, this is another guy that would have been in my top 60, but not top 50. It's some of the size stuff and also some, you know, he can, like you said, there's not always like where he's breaking on stuff, but he's so fast. And he just, I just wrote is can recover and stay with receivers and man, which is a trait. Like some teams are going to love that trait. Like I think he's just a guy that's not going to be for everybody, but the ones that like him are going to really like him. Like if he ends up going in the first round, I wouldn't be shocked at all. Because just how fast he is and just like his tape, he's not an abomination when you watch tape where it's just theory. It's like, there is good tape out there. Like it's just that he doesn't do everything well because he's just not polished in some other areas. And that's the bet you're making on him. Is it, oh, okay, we can get more out of him, which I think is very possible, especially NFL corner play coaching compared to college play, but works out the technique and, you know, keeps being able to mitigate his size. He just has tools and enough stuff. You can play man coverage and you can run. You're going to have a home somewhere. I bet you he goes higher than I think either of us expect. He has that type of skill set. I think someone's going to love. Last guys, consensus top 50 from The Athletic, by the way. That's where the consensus board we're taking it from. Not on either of our top 50s, but interesting players. One I think is going to sneak up into my updated top 50. It's top 75, but he'll be in my top 50. That is, I'll start with Trey Amos, corner from Ole Miss. I liked him. I'm just going to say that. He's a late watch for me. Corners always are, but we're doing it today. Checks a lot of boxes. Just a good round two corner. I don't know how else to describe him. Doesn't get himself in bad positions. He reminds me a lot of James Bradbury coming out of Samford, but Bradbury is bigger. So like a little bit smaller Bradbury. Where he's just that kind of zone corner outside, good awareness, can turn and recover. He tested pretty well, but that's not how he wins. Like he doesn't win with just sheer speed. So Amos was one. Any thoughts on Amos before I move on to the last guy?
No, this was kind of like you. I'm kind of a late watcher on cornerback, so I don't want to sit here and fib and say that. Oh, you know, I've watched this guy. This. I haven't gotten to either of these guys, but I will at some point, and I'll bring some takes on late season draft pod.
This is the last ones I know. The last one is Azarie Thomas from Florida State. Good size, long, not going to be, he's kind of like the opposite of Harrison. He doesn't really make a lot of plays on the ball though. Like he just doesn't show up a lot. He's what I call a theory pick. You know, I see the size. He didn't really run real well either, which he's not overly twitchy, which is exactly how he plays. And those guys like scare me a little because if you're big and not fast and you're handsy, you get a lot of penalties in the NFL because they call it more and receivers are better. So I don't know. That profile scares me a little bit, but I do like the size. So just another, I think a day two guy, I'd be more comfortable with him like round three, maybe late round two than a top, true top 40 guy. All right. Well, that's it for corners. I don't know if we're on pace for 2 hours because I think the other positions will be a little bit shorter than this, but we're going to take our first break and then come back with the safeties for the 2025 draft class. We are back and we're moving to the back end. Safeties, starting with your favorite team, Charles McDonald. That is Malachi Starks, safety, Georgia Bulldogs, safety slash slot slash all everything, really, for the Georgia Bulldogs the last few years. 18th on my big board, 15th on Charles's, 24th on the consensus board. It's dropped a little bit throughout this process, but Charles, why is he for you the 15th player on your big board? And what does Malachi Starks bring to the table for the team?
I feel like it seems kind of lazy sometimes to talk about safeties like this, but versatility, like he can just do so much.
he can.
Like just a Swiss Army knife. I'm a little surprised he's at 24 on this big board. That seems to me a little bit over-exaggerating, like what happened to him last year, because I thought maybe it started a little bit slow for him where he didn't quite look by himself. But by the end of the season, I thought he was playing pretty good football and was a big reason why Georgia was able to, you know, kind of will their way into the college football playoff despite having no quarterback play to speak of, you know. But
I mean, sheer talent.
That's all it was. Wasn't coordination. We weren't organized, but you assemble enough good football players, you can will yourself to some pretty high spots. I think when you look at the totality of his career, going on from, because he started as a freshman too. Going back from freshman year to now, like that blip he had earlier this season it's what it is. It's a blip on the radar. It's not really indicative of who he is as a player on the whole. I think, you know, it was kind of interesting to watch him at first when he first got to Georgia, because they would use him as like an outside cornerback every once in a while, and he would go out there and make plays there. Obviously, that's not going to be his future in the NFL, but I think it goes to show like he's got the coverage chops to play against the slot in the middle of the field. He's a good tackler. Yep. Coming downhill, there's just really a lot to like. And I think that if you are a team that just needs a safety, or particularly like, you know, I guess what we would call like a classical strong safety, someone who's going to play in the box, overhang, slot, all that nonsense, you're going to want someone like Malachi Starks. I don't know if he's like someone who's going to play deep a whole bunch, but still just, you know, that 10 to 20 range where you kind of need someone to make plays over tight ends and running backs. I think he's going to be pretty special player there.
Yeah, the Dolphins just make a lot of sense to me as far as what they need and what the type of skill set he has, and they have enough speed elsewhere. He just reads the game well. I thought when I wrote him up before the season, I think he was a top 10 player for me. It was pretty easy to say. I was like, yeah, I know he's a safety, but you got to watch what he does because he does everything. He had clips of him guarding Luther Burden from Mizzou, one-on-one in the slot, running with him like it was nothing. And I swear it wasn't really as much of an issue before. Maybe I just didn't watch the right games of it, but he has missed tackles, ones that show up, but he's not a bad tackler. I would say he's a good tackler. It's kind of funny. He's one of those guys that just gets caught. Like he's a basketball player that gets dunked on a bunch. But you're like, no, he's a good defender, I swear. And like, cause I see him as like a quarter, you know what I mean? I'm like, cause I saw the play. I've seen the plays. I've seen them and they're bad. He gets broken off. And then there's three plays in a row where he's a quarter safety and he's filling the gap and makes a tackle at 5 yards. And it's like, yeah, that's picture perfect. That's exactly what I want. Like I said, I'm with you where it's not that maybe an elite back end guy with all this range. I think he's more solid on the back end. Like I would like him more in a versatile defense. Like I would love him. Dream fan fiction for me is him going to the Ravens. Cause I just think it'd be a lot of fun with him and Kyle Hamilton. That might just be the tail end of his kind of, you know, range. I just really like him. Do you have any kind of dream fits for him? I kind of mentioned a couple, but any others?
I think Miami makes a whole bunch of sense. Honestly, I think, you know, it might be a little rich because they don't have a defensive line, but I think he would fit really well with the Falcons. Like Bates, Terrell, Starks is maybe your DB trio isn't a bad space to be in, but you know, they need pass rush so much you can almost neutralize those guys. It almost don't matter sometimes because the pass rush is so bad. But I really do like those fits.
Yeah,
I like those that's a good one.
And you can play in the slot too, which is it's so bad when your needs are just so glaring that it's just everybody knows what you're trying to shore up. I mean, you know, they probably could have taken maybe a guy last year and said, "Oh no, that's actually the quarterback in the future." So who knows? we'll go to the guy that's kind of the workout warrior, I would say, of this draft process. But you know, he was creeping up there anyways. Is Nick Amanawori from South Carolina. 33rd on my big board, 29th on yours, 26th on the consensus. We're in all about the same range. But Amanda Worry, big athletic freak. I mean, just that's really his player profile. Like I'd say the highlights of him. But what would you say? Would you you have him below Starks?
Oh, okay, for sure. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You have him below Starks. And why would you say that? Like, what is the difference between Starks and Amanda Worry for you? That he's maybe safety too.
Trying to figure out a nice way to put this, but yeah, I think Nick could do a better
leading
job.
The witness, Your Honor.
Yeah. I think Nick could do a better job playing up to his measurables sometimes.
Uh-huh.
It's a nice way to put it, you know, because you just laid it out. I mean, this is one of those freakish players in the draft just from a combine standpoint. But and I honestly, for me, I'll be honest, like that's why he's up there, because I think when you look at those traits, it's just kind of hard not to envision a world where he wouldn't be one of the more coveted players in the draft. But I do think his play leaves a bit to be desired at times, you know, when it comes down to like just being big and being physical and being 6'3", 230 with a 4.3 40, you know, it doesn't always play out like that for him. Yeah. And I think where, you know, sometimes Malachi Starks missed a tackle, maybe being a little overzealous or coming downhill too hard. I think Nick sometimes has the opposite problem where it's not always, you know, the fiercest stuff you've ever seen.
He's not always
the aggressor, right? I was talking to our friend Deontay Lee about him. He thinks he's, you know, more of a slot player than maybe someone who's going to play safety and be a hammer versus a run. I still think when you look at that size, you probably want to keep him at safety or, you know, playing overhang over, you know, over the slot and kind of splitting the difference between the sideline and the box. But still a little for me on the tape that I'm like, man, you know, you're built like this Greek god, but you don't always play for it. And that's kind of a bit of a conundrum for me when I'm trying to evaluate guys like that.
Yeah, I'm with you. There's glimpses of him like using his gifts. He has a play against Ole Miss where he's again a quarter safety and he closes on a dig. And I'm like, yeah, there we go. He blows up a play. And it's like, there's some football play. It's just like what you said. He kind of is frozen in place and then he does something. He's like a quarterback that waits until the receiver is wide open to then throw the ball. Like, you know, doesn't really have the anticipation. And he's not an abomination where I'm like, oh man, like this guy's pure theory, like pure, just like an idea. Not, he has some football play to him. Like he is willing to get feisty or physical. He'll have some plays in coverage. It's just that if you told me that he was 5'10", 190 and ran a 4.6, I would be like, yeah. You know, like that's just how he kind of plays. He doesn't play, like, yeah, but he doesn't. You look and you see a guy that's gigantic back there, 6'3", 220, and yeah, legit ran a sub 4.4 at the combine, jumped out of the gym over 40 inches on his vert, 43 inch vert, 11 foot, 6 inch broad jump, 20 reps on the bench. And I'm saying, I like him better in the second round. And that's really all you need to know, like about what he is. Like this player profile has alarm bells to me because I've just seen it fail. I've seen it fail before. Like I just have. Like there's been a couple hits, but this is a guy I'm more comfortable on day two, even though if you can't tell, I'm probably gonna drop him a little bit, but not crazy. Like if he goes in the first, totally get it. Because he has such an athletic profile that's hard to teach. It's just that, man, you're always left wanting a little bit more. But he doesn't feel like an impact player, even though he has the gifts of an impact player. So, yeah, I just have alarm bells with his player profile. Not saying that he's as bad as some of those guys in the past. OB, you know, there's a couple of them actually. I don't want to throw them all under the bus, but it's just ones I'm just a little not comfortable with. But yeah, I like him more of that 33. I have him on the big board. That's kind of that range I like him more at. Let's get to the guy actually that's not on the consensus top 50, not even on the consensus top 100. But
crazy,
he's in your top 50, Charles. No, this is great. Everybody needs one of these. Like I got a guy at quarterback that I'm one of these. So trust me, we all got it. Who is that, Charles? Who is that guy that's 43 on your big board? Safety.
I'll yeah, as well. Andrew Makuba from Texas. I love his
your
game.
Guy.
Dude, it's we all get one, and maybe it's for the wrong reasons, but. I love watching this guy play. It's just pure hatred and aggression packed into a small little body, you know, and I understand, you know, you watch him play, you look at the height and weight, because I think he was sub 190 at the combine. Sounds right. I don't remember exactly. But
186,
right. So he's explosive, like on the field. Like I love watching him in the lead up to contact, because there's just no fear at all. Like he knows that even though he might have, you know, 20 pounds or 30 pounds or 40 pounds, you know, giving up on the guy he's trying to tackle, he feels like the strongest man in the world. And I love it. You know, and I think he does do some good stuff in coverage. I think he's a really good hole player for Texas. He got his hands on some balls over the middle. I thought he played, you know, decent enough slot coverage. But like where he gets his, you know, where he's going to make his money in the NFL, forever long he can do it at his size, is just being an absolute monster in the alley and trying to stop plays as fast as he can, because that's just somewhere where he shows no fear. He plays a lot bigger than, you know, maybe than he's built. I don't know how this is going to go, if it's going to be a guy that's injured all the time, but I can't quit the style of play. I think he's got the athletic traits. It's more just about, you know, how long can you do it and how long can you just play at that size with that level of ferocity.
There's some of these guys that are kind of just better football players, and like their profile kind of makes them out to be. It's kind of like watch it, you know, I hate to use the term, but like watch the tape on them. But it's like, I don't know. The more these guys are hitting, you know, like are making it in the league, yeah, they battle some injuries, but they, more of these kind of guys, like, I don't know where he fits, if how the role, but he just kind of plays, like, get him on the field. Like, these guys kind of hit. Do you have kind of a, maybe a spot in your head for him? Like, kind of like, oh, I kind of like him for this team, or kind of perfect fit, preferably on day two, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking maybe with the Vikings, maybe if he could be a little, I don't know where he fits like exactly on Floyd's defense, but I really just love the aggressive style of play. Like if you could swap him out for, you know, like Metellus, and maybe he can learn behind Harrison Smith for however long he's going to keep playing. I kind of like that as a spot for him. Really, any spot where he can kind of get going and be an aggressor. Even like Baltimore, if they're a little concerned about where their safeties non Kyle Hamilton are, I think maybe that could be a good fit, because Kyle Hamilton can do so much. He can kind of, you know, cover for the spots where Makua is maybe a little bit more limited. But any player that's just looking for a hammer, trying to come downhill, and someone who's really going to give it all, trying to tackle, I'm a big fan of his game, and I think he fits. You know, most defenses that are looking for like a third safety would be a good spot for him.
No, which is like, shoot, I mean, a lot of teams do the three safety stuff now, or at least rotate them to slot, or have some looks, dime, some way, shape, or form. I know these guys are all on the field. So that's the thing, is like, you can make this role work. It's just a lot of these guys, especially safety, it's going to just, they're so team dependent. It's so like, oh, well, we use them for this. Then that, I mean, shoot, we just talk about fits that work for some guys, and others were like, oh, I don't know about this. So other guys that we're in the consensus top 50, or another one I was in consensus top 50, not on our boards, but totally get this one, is Xavier Watts from Notre Dame. He's number 46 on the big board, the consensus board. I mean, he's going to be in my top 75. I couldn't quite get him all the way to 50. Just have some, you know, there's some athletic stuff I'm not all sold on, but I do think he's just a ball player. Another guy that just, I think a team's going to love this guy, because he has really good feel for the game. Like, knows how to make plays on the ball. Just that's it. He has IQ, like football IQ, and he has good size too. So I just think it's a guy that can play from spots and play smart. So I think a team will like him on day two. I just don't think he checks a lot of boxes, some athletic stuff, maybe some fits there. But yeah, that is it for safeties though. Unless you have any others to mention.
Because no.
Safety is always interesting. Like, I thought Malik Mustafa was my safety one last year, and he goes on day three. You know,
still had a good rookie year though.
He had a good rookie year. No, I know. I'm stand by that one. Stand by that grade. but no, it's just, these are such, all these positions, and this draft class especially is eye of the beholder. But safety is just one that's like, try predicting how these guys go, unless it's just a true lock guy. It's just so impossible to do. So I think it's going to be really fun how these guys play out. And I think there's some fun ones. We're going to take our last break, and then we're going to come back to some off-ball linebackers. Fun group too. All right. home stretch here with the linebackers. I said group before the break. It's more just, it's just a handful of guys, but I like them. I like them for all different reasons. We're going to start with Jalen Walker, Georgia, another Bulldog for you. A little mix here. We kind of hinted at him last week. You can play some edge. Some people see him as an off-ball linebacker. He is 7 on my big board, 11 on your big board, 10 on the consensus board. I think everyone's in agreement. Fun football player. Chuck, with Walker, how do you see him ideally used in the NFL? And really, what brings him to the table? Like, why, even though he's a tweener, is he a top 15 player for us and the consensus? Top 12 player for us in the consensus?
I think for Walker, it's a little confusing sometimes on how you want to use him, but I think the biggest thing with him is just get him moving forward in some capacity, and he will probably figure it out for himself. Because I don't think he's like, I honestly think the way Georgia used him at times maybe wasn't the best for his professional development. It was probably the best for their defense, but I don't really see him as like a true off the ball guy. In the NFL, I think he's more, how the Falcons used, I'm forgetting his name, Caden Ellis, this year, in like the back half of the season, where he split like half his time blitzing, maybe another half of his time playing like normal linebacker responsibilities. But I think with Walker, you can even get a little bit more on the edge with him, because I don't view him as like a pure edge rusher. I don't think that was just like the development path he had at Georgia. Still, you know, plays with good enough technique, but I think what really gets him going is he's one of those guys who's got all the physical attributes in the world, and he hustles up there and just plays his butt off. So, with Walker, like, you're getting a high floor, high character guy that's going to be able to get after the passer. Maybe you're going to have to squint and figure out ways for him to get after the passer, whether it's like blitzing through the B gap or maybe using stunts in games. But that's a guy where the force of him coming forward, I think, is just enough for him to get drafted, like, you know, around the top 10 or top 15, even if the position versatility is a little bit cloudy right now.
Yeah, it's, you have to trust your defense coordinator to actually, like, again, this isn't just ideas that we're throwing. We're all excited in April and May, and then once August and September come around, then we're actually using them totally different ways, you know, or just limited ways. Like, actually, how are you actually realistically going to use them? I think there are more defense coordinators now in the NFL that can find better uses for him than maybe 10 years ago, where everybody was a little more cookie cutter. You know, everybody was four down with off-ball guys. There wasn't as many kind of, I hate using the term like this, but hybrid defenses, you know, as far as inverting who's in coverage, the creepers and simulators that drop guys from the line of scrimmage and blitz off ball linebackers, kind of, you limit their coverage weaknesses and highlight their strengths. And that's perfect for Walker. Look how Zach Bond was used. I mean, Bond was pretty good in coverage this year, but Bond was used. Mac Wilson's a guy I think of with the Cardinals. And maybe that's why we keep trying to massage Walker to the Cardinals in our mock drafts. Because I think that you don't want him rushing the passer 40 plus times, you know, 30 plus times, but, you know, half those snaps, you know, passing downs. And then you have to have another off-ball linebacker on your roster. That's another thing, is like, if you bring him in, you're like, he's our Mike, and then we're going to use him as a pass rusher. It's like, you're already if you're doing that, like, cause you need an off-ball guy to balance what he's going to bring to the table. But I just think he's a guy I just want on my defense. I want him in my front seven, cause he just makes plays. He fills up the box score. He makes plays against the run. He makes sacks. He gets pressures. He makes plays in coverage. Like, I think of him as like a Sam linebacker, you know, like a 3-4 Sam, where it's a jack in today's parlance. It's a guy that can be on the outside linebacker, like Andrew Van Ginkle or Mac Wilson I brought up, dropping the coverage from there as more out to the flats out there as a true off-ball middle Mike, you know, guy right in the middle. So a Will or a Sam as opposed to a Mike. And then that gets some pass rush downs as well. So I just think if you get him in the right defense, and there's more of those defenses available than there were in the past, that he's going to be at least come close to his ceiling. And I think his versatility is part of his appeal, as opposed to, like, you know, like, I'm trying to think, like, even guys that came out in the past, like Hassan Reddick is probably the best example, but Reddick was truly an outside linebacker. You know, and Walker has some appeal as being an inside linebacker, even though I just talked about all the Sam stuff. It's just that that's the stuff that he can package and do it. Like, the guy that comes to mind is Clay Matthews. That's what Jalen Walker is to me. It is it's Clay Matthews, who was an off ball guy and an edge guy that was a late bloomer. But Walker has that appeal where he can rush the passer and he can be that spinner defender that lines up over the mic or the guards and stands up and is part of the pass rush package on the inside. So ideally, that's the high end of comparison, but I think he does have ability that could, you know, be like that, like Clay Matthews was for the Packers for so long. So fun player. That's why I'm very excited to see where he ends up, because I want him to have a good home. You know?
Yeah.
Because I really like him. So it's just that he's not just the cleanest fit for everybody. Go with the guy that I think is a little cleaner, and this guy rocks. This is Jahad Campbell, Alabama. True off-ball linebacker, even though he has some pass rush appeal. But I have him 16th on my big board, 13th on your big board, Charles, 22nd on consensus. Why do you view him as one of the best players in this draft class, which is a take I fully endorse, Charles McDonald?
I don't know. There's not much. He doesn't do well on the field. You know, the only thing I'll say about him is I think people who are saying, oh, he could play some edge in the NFL, I don't really think that that's all that necessary. Just keep him as an off ball. Like, I think he can play a true Mike, sideline to sideline speed, tough between tackles, can make the tough tackles outside of the box and, you know, play those zones in the middle of the field pretty well. So I don't know. I think when maybe he's also being bumped up due to, there aren't too many true off-ball linebackers that reviewed the first-round prospects in this year's class, but I do think that he actually is like a bona fide first-round off-ball linebacker with everything that he brings on the field. What I really like about his game is really it's just some of the plays where you're just using the speed and hammering stuff in between the tackles. It's so much fun, and especially like just being able to shoot the gaps with, you know, with the size that he has and the speed that he has. To me, like just a no-brainer linebacker talent that's going to make your defense better from day one, which is cool because we haven't gotten too many of these in the past few years. I really think the last one that kind of made me feel like, okay, this is like just a day one Mike starting linebacker, maybe like Roquan, that was a while ago at this point. Because there haven't really been that many since then.
Jack Campbell was just an idea. You know, I actually like Jack Campbell. He's coming to his own, but he was an idea. That was just a skill set. Like, hey, this guy's big and can run and is like a decent enough tackler. And like Campbell is big. Like that's the thing. He's 6'3". He weighed 235. I would wager he weighs more than 240s, like 245. I bet you he can't wait to run, you know, and boy, did he run. He ran a 4.52, I believe, at the combine, 4.52.
Yeah.
10, and he only did the broad. But at a 1.53 10-yard split, he plays like it. Like, he plays to that speed. Like, if I were to guess, I would have said he was a 4.55 guy. And then 240-something, 4.5, can play all every down, is good against the run. Like you said, he's a run-and-hit guy, but he has the size to take on blocks. His length is solid. It's good. It's like 32 and change. But the thing is he's strong. He knows how to use his hands, and he can get off blocks when the plays come at him. And that's usually the big disconnect between, you know, what college linebackers have to face, box linebackers, and what NFL linebackers have to face is what blocks are coming at you. A fullback block, a tight end leading on an insert play, which they face sometimes, more double teams truly coming at them, just more stuff, more muck to kind of get through. And Campbell already shows that he's able to do it. It's not all clean. Like he's not like a bona fide, oh my God, this guy is like, you know, I'm not comparing him to Keekly or something like that, or guys that were perfectly clean, I thought. He still has some room to grow, especially in coverage, turning his head. But the thing was really cool with him is he got better throughout this year. And like he wasn't an Alabama ready-made guy that came in like this that was like, oh yeah. And then you're like, well, he's only again talked like this because he went to Alabama. It was cool to see him kind of progress throughout the year and get better by the end of the year in coverage and everything. And the blitz, the pass rush appeal, I think is more what we just talked about with Walker, is more just the creepers and simulateds that teams do more now. He can beat guards. And it's not more just the edge stuff and get him out there. It's more, no, he can beat guards and what's use that advantage when you want to throw in those looks. That's why we keep kind of mocking him to the Bucks, because Todd Bowles would thrive with that type of skill set. So, yeah, really like Campbell. Hell of a player. Four down, three down linebacker, however you want to put it. Plays Veron. Encouraging stuff against the pass, could truly be a good pass coverage guy, because I think just the gains he's already showed there with the skill set, and can rush the passer. So I think that's why, I mean, shoot, I'm at 16, you're at 13. I don't know if I can juice that up anymore. do you have any maybe glaring weakness with him, or one thing that maybe for the next level you maybe have to clean up?
I think the coverage recognition sometimes can use some work. Sometimes it felt like Alabama's whole defense struggled with that at times, because they had some really, really bad performances this year. But still, even when it's kind of like when we were talking about Harrison earlier, sometimes even when they're making a mistake in coverage, or he makes a mistake in coverage, you still have the speed and the physicality to make up for it from time to time. So I think that just gives you such a high floor in the NFL. Crazy, you know, big, fast, strong people tend to be more highly coveted. But this is just a guy, I think he's just a no-brainer, set it and forget it, starting day one linebacker, even with some of the coverage concerns, because it's not like it's an athletic problem, you know. It's more just, you know, getting more reps and maybe just isolating yourself and playing Mike than switching around a little bit.
You know who he is, and as you were talking, it just clicked for me. He's DeMario Davis.
That's a good one.
He's DeMario Davis. That's how I picture him in the NFL. And DeMario Davis became that as his career went along, but I think Campbell could be that middle of year two, you know. So, and that's a good player. That's a guy that's going to be an all pro several times. So yeah, DeMario Davis is how I kind of picture him, that type of defense. We're getting to our last guy that was in the top 50, and he didn't make my initial top 50. He'll be in my top 75. And that's Carson Schwechinger, who I also have an interview with right after we break him down a little bit. So didn't make my top 50. I'll start with the negatives maybe with Carson. Is not the biggest guy. Doesn't really take on blocks too. And when I just talked about all the stuff with the muck, that's where his big issues are, is how he kind of can get through the muck. However, his ID and awareness and reading keys and everything, like excellent awareness, excellent diagnosing plays with speed to take advantage of it, just doesn't have strength and physicality to maybe take advantage of it. And that I'm a little more worried about that in the NFL, where everyone's big and fast on top of just being fast. So but the positives with him is speed, and legit coverage ability, and real, like, the, I bring it up with our interview with him, and I tweeted it today, was waiting for us to record this. Watching him against USC, the first drive, he runs with Zachariah Branch, a receiver from USC, 40-plus yards down the field, and makes a PBU on the ball. Or maybe he's part of the play on the ball. I think the safety closes, a corner closes on it too. But he's excellent already as like a cover two. This is so specific, but I am dead serious. It's cool. A cover two pole runner, which is the coverage guy in the middle. It's what Urlacher made famous. He is like excellent at that already, which you never really see from a college linebacker. So it's kind of cool. Love his awareness, love his diagnosis of the game, but, you know, have some issues with his physicality. He needs to get stronger and just get better at it, because otherwise teams will kind of eat him up. But what'd you think of Carson, maybe your assessment of him?
Honestly, kind of remind me a little bit of N'Kobe Dean, like if N'Kobe Dean played on a less talented defense. I know he's a little taller than that, maybe a little bit bigger, but it's kind of the same thing where some of the best plays are when just screaming through the middle of the line, screaming like on a blitz, or, you know, if you can beat a down block and get through the gap, like N'Kobe did at Georgia a bunch, and I started to do with the Eagles a little bit too. I think that's where it fits for him. But, you know, also like N'Kobe, when things get mucked up and there's a bunch of large bodies moving towards me, I might get taken for a ride every once in a while. But I think the ability to make plays in space is obviously so valuable in today's NFL. And I think that he can do a bunch of the same things that have made other guys, you know, more coveted prospects on day two, where maybe it's not the most complete profile you need, but if it's someone who can win in space and make TFLs and make those flash plays, it's still going to be someone that has value.
The Bills have made a living with linebackers like this. And they just kind of teach them, they can stay run and hit. Like, it's just how they kind of keep things going. They're like, hey, we understand you'll get blown back every once in a while, but they think the coverage ability and the other explosive plays that type of speed creates overcomes all that, maybe the lack of size and everything. He's a guy I just really like. Like, I wouldn't even call it instincts. I talked to him about it, and he was really detailed. I don't want to spoil the whole interview, but detailed him, like, how he goes about the game. It was very professional. And like how he studies for the opponent. I was like, well, it shows up. Like, you can tell you study film, which is great. That's why I think he'll have a nice transition mentally and speed wise. It's just, you know, strength and physicality, which is stuff that can be hidden. It's just that you go higher if you have it. You know, it's a lot easier. Right, you know, now right. I have to talk about how we hide that, yada, yada. But man, really fun coverage player, really just interesting player to watch. And here is my interview with Carson right now. All right, joining me now is Carson Schwechinger from UCLA, linebacker, who is now in Arizona training for the NFL draft and beyond. Carson, thank you for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and if you don't know what Carson is all about as a player, he was a former walk-on, which I'm sure everybody has noticed and talked about. He earned a scholarship after that redshirt year, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
Yep. So, okay, 1 year as a walk-on before earning that scholarship. Great special teamer before earning a full-time role, deserving that full-time role. It was really fun watching you. My first question, though, for you, Carson, you wear number 49. Was that by choice, or is that a walk-on number that you just kept and you're like, all right, I'm going to roll?
No. When you show up as a walk-on, you kind of just get whatever's left. So that's what they ended up giving me. I'm not a huge number guy in the first place. So okay. I was 49. I was just going to stick with it. You know, didn't like care it. Too much to change. My family had the gear that had 49 on it. So I was just going to roll with it.
Like, whatever, California, San Francisco, 49ers. We can work with this a little bit. No, I had to ask because 49 is like either you have something with that or you just take it and roll with it. I like that you kind of just take it and rolled with it. I do have to ask too, though, because I figure 49, not a lot of cross sports, you know, that you can wear that in other sports. But did you play other sports in high school? Because I know you weren't recruited much or at all. That's why you ended up being a walk-on to UCLA, but then earning that scholarship. But did you play any other sports in high school?
Played a little bit of basketball. Okay. My high school too, that junior senior year was right when COVID hit and pretty big in California. So a lot of stuff was shut down, but wish I was able to play a little bit more basketball, but that was really it.
I just have to ask, cause you, first thing when watching you is that you're an exceptional athlete, very good athlete. You get asked to do a lot on the football field. I see you at the line of scrimmage, dropping back into coverage, you know, filling the run from in the box. Also get used as a cover two pole dropper a lot.
Yeah.
You run a lot in a football game. So I wanted to ask you, do you wear the GPS trackers?
Yeah.
And okay. What's the maximum amount that you've run in a football game or practice in yards or mileage, if you can remember? Because the USC game in particular, you were pushing 40 yards down the field over and over again. So I have to ask, what's the furthest you've run in a football
game? I don't know if I got an exact yardage number, but I do know every time after the game, my number would be definitely the highest out of anybody who'd played in terms of total yards ran.
Oh, I'm sure. It's, yeah, on top of the special teams is too, getting run down the field on that. So what were some of the things that you think that you bring to the table as a football player? I mentioned a couple of the roles you get asked to do. What's something that you think is your best role in coverage it could be, or against the run, or just any aspect of your game that you think when you go to the NFL level that you're going to bring to a football team?
I think the best aspect of my game is that I think it's the all-around aspect. I think you know, whether it's dropping into coverage, whether it's stopping the run, even rushing the passer as an off-ball linebacker, I think I do all three of those exceptionally well, which is something that I think is pretty rare. And you know, there's not a lot of weakness when you're looking at the game or where to exploit what I do. So I think along with the run stops, I think especially to what I bring is that pass coverage, the ability to drop down into Tampa 2, go man cover your tight end, your running back, and then drop in zone and know what's going on behind me.
What do you think was the toughest ask of all those roles that you mentioned?
I would consider it the toughest, but it was also my favorite. I love to be in the position where I love the Tampa 2 running down the hole. Give me on that speed receiver, try and take a shot. You throw a good ball, it'll be an interception, you know? So that, and then so being able to go from, hey, first second of the play, you got to make sure you can stop the run. And once you clear that, get into the deep middle, run the pole, that's probably the toughest, but it was also my favorite when we got that play in there.
Right. I know that again, I got to bring up the USC game. I want to say it was the first drive or maybe the second drive. You ran with a receiver and it was a receiver in the slot and it was a good 40 or more yards down the field. And I thought it was real good. And they tried you.
Uh-huh.
It looked like they were trying you a couple times. Do you think they were?
Yeah, I think they tried it that first one. And they didn't go back to that play again. They still ran it, but they didn't throw it deep again. I mean, like I said, if that one was a good ball, it might have ended a little different for instead of incomplete.
I was a former quarterback, and I'm going to say those routes are called alert routes. And I'm not going to lie, if I see long hair number 49, I might try it too, just to test it out a little bit. But no, that's what's so cool. I'm glad we get to talk about the cover two thing, because I think that is where that's your ace in the hole as a player. I think that's a really cool aspect of your game because you actually can do it. It's not theory. Yeah. Do you have you mentioned a couple of the little coaching points there. Do you have a key point that you look for in there? Like you mentioned that, because that's a really tough ask. You have to play the run a little bit and then make sure that you can hightail it with a receiver or a fast tight end down the seam. Do you have a certain like 1, 2, 3 coaching point there?
Oh yeah.
That you kind of focus on.
Definitely. I think anytime I had that play call, one of the things that helps a ton, because like you said, you got to play the run and the pass, is just knowing the down and distance, the formation, what look they're giving you. And a lot of times you could tell before the snap if they're going to be passing or they're going to be running. And so that definitely helps you, when they're in those condensed sets, everything's tight, you thinking more run, and you're also not going to be stressed vertically as much as opposed to a spread out set. Your tackles are standing a little bit more vertical, third and long, you're expecting a pass anyway. So there's not really a need to check on the run. So really it's kind of just the checklist, getting the formation, the down and distance, field position. And, you narrow it down just pre-snap off of all that.
Yeah. Yeah. It becomes a probability game, right? Yep. And I think that was a great little kind of summary of kind of what goes into game planning too, about breaking it down to third downs, early downs, red zone. What do you really focus on when you are studying opponents? Because I do think not only just in the past game, you've mentioned this, I think your coverage awareness is really good, but I also think against the run, you're able to do some things because you recognize the run game and what's kind of coming at you. What kind of do you focus on in a given week, or maybe break down like kind of your week flow when you're studying for an opponent?
Yeah, my week flow studying, I think initially I just like to watch the full games through of the team we're playing, just get a feel for the offense, the type of runs they like, the passing, what they like to do in the pass game, and even just getting a feel for what they'll do on different down and distances, the first and 10, their drive starters and things like that. And then throughout the week is when I'll get into more of the specific things, all the motion cutups and the Y off cutups and certain cutups out of all these different formations. And then, as we're getting close to the game, get back into watching the games again. But now you're just trying, based off all the cutups and all the film I've watched, now I'm almost trying to narrow down the play to the one or two options they can really get out of this formation down a distance. And the goal really there is to, by the time I'm on the field, I've played the game so many times in my head that I no longer have to sit there and think about, oh, we're getting this formation, they're doing all this. It's just so natural in the back of your mind. You can almost just start to feel it without having to think about it. It's really the goal going into the game.
Yeah, you don't want to think. You think you're dead. Exactly. No, but that was a great example too, Carson, of just like what goes into game planning. You kind of start big, get really small, and then you kind of try to use the small things to pick up on the big things a little bit. Yeah. I was a quarterback though, so I'm not going to tell you exactly what we looked about, all the signals that you guys always gave away and everything. But what do you think too? I think, again, I was talking about game planning. What do you think will be the biggest adjustment that you're anticipating going to the NFL?
Yeah. Going to the
next, what do you need to work on? Maybe it started to cut you off, but or maybe an aspect they maybe need to work on,
I think,
as well.
Going to the next level, the biggest thing that's changing is you're going against guys who are the best of the best. I mean, in college, right, it's the same as jumping from high school to college. You go from, the best of the best in high school. Now you're playing the best of the best in the world. So really, you got to improve in every aspect, regardless of how good you were in college at doing certain things. You got to be able to hone in now, and you're getting to a point where you can't just out-athlete people. You got to make sure you're honing in on all the technique, whether it's in man coverage, zone coverage, even taking on blocks, just because all these guys have done it too. They've gotten to where you're at. They're the best at what they do. So being able to really be a technician and just hammer in on all the details, I think, is the biggest jump. And then that's what's going to help me adjust to all this stuff at the next level.
No, that's exactly how it kind of goes. What, all right, a couple more before I let you go. You can get back to, continuing the protein shakes and the stretching they got you on, the best diet you've ever been on in your life. I know how the kind of the combine training goes. No, but what was an offense that maybe you thought was fun to go against, or maybe gave you, I wouldn't say difficulties, or maybe it was more, you felt really gratified afterwards that like, hey, you executed this game plan, an offense that might have kind of tested what you could do. And then you're like, hey, I was able to get that done. So maybe your best film or most, maybe a film that you think was overlooked that you're more accomplished with.
One of my favorite games this year, just because of how the whole defense played as a whole, even the whole team, was when we played Iowa. You know, the whole UCLA is going into the Big Ten. We're from the Pac-12, you know, saying they're just going to come and out football.
I was Wisconsin, so that's exactly what we thought.
Coming out physical, right? And so just going into that week, we had our game plan set, and, you know, they're a team that wants to come in and run the football. And coming in, we held them to one of their lowest totals of the season and were able to force a lot of turnovers. So just being able to come in and play physical when we were expected to be the team that was less physical, just not because of any tape or anything, just because of where we were located, is one that I was really proud of after, especially we had the whole defense firing on all cylinders.
No, that was a great game. It was one of the games I studied of you, because I figured that that's a game that really translates to the next level too, which you're going to have to get done.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you brought that one up. You're talking about testing your run rules. How much zone you had to defend against, that's going to get you ready for the next level. You had to stay gap sound against those guys. What is maybe, I'm asking you the GPS question about the furthest you traveled. What was your max speed? If you want to disclose that information, you can't get in trouble with UCLA anymore.
No, yeah.
That you maybe hit in a game or a practice.
They were up there. I mean, I remember what we would have after our games is, the head coach, would go over what we did in the game, and then they'd pull up the top speeds of the game. And for me, I always wanted to be in that top five, and usually I was in the top 3 to 5 range. So, for a backer who's really more of a short area runner, I guess I could get a little bit of the speed on those Tampa 2s, but that was always fun.
No, that's awesome. I know you get to open it up. It's a highlight. I really encourage people that haven't watched Carson to check it out, because it really stands out in this game. So I'm glad we really got to focus on it a little bit, because I think at the next level, coaches are going to get ready to run.
Yep.
Start watching some Fred Warner if you haven't. What kind of NFL players have you studied, actually? That's maybe a great lead to my question.
Fred Warner's one of them. I'm a big fan of Roquan. Matt Milano, too. Oh, yeah. Love guys who are around the ball. Favorite all time. Classic answer, but it's Keekly. I mean, just
nice. Great answer.
The amount of preparedness he had, and even just hearing other guys talk about how he would play. He was the cerebral guy, but at the same time, once he was on the field, that flip switched, or that switch flipped. And he became like a different animal out there as well. So he's definitely probably is my favorite backer to watch.
Oh yeah. All-timer. Every linebacker should study him. No, Warner is a great study too. Dre Greenlaw, his teammate with the 49ers. Yeah. I think you two are actually built a lot alike. But I think you two have some range, similar range as well. I also just have to ask the one last question. You mentioned going against Iowa. You also went against other now co-patriots in the Big Ten. You also went against Nebraska, which I thought was a fun game for you.
Yeah.
What were you thinking, though, on that goal line plunge? That you dove right in there. I think it was second down.
Yeah.
And you went all jumped out on that over. One.
Yeah. That one.
So what was going through your mind on that one?
That was one of those game plan ones too. So a lot of times in their short yardage, they would try and cut and then just give the back a spot to jump over the pile. So they had their guards and tackles in the 4-point stance, which was kind of the key. And we saw that, and I knew it was coming, so I was ready to go. I maybe timed it a little bit too early, but still was able to get a knock on him in the backfield, so didn't end up scoring on that play. So that really was the thought process behind there.
That was fun. No, you had another fun red zone sequence in that game. You had a PBU, and then I think you followed up with a little sack off the edge. Mm-hmm. And that was fun. I thought that was a really fun sequence to kind of highlight what you bring to the table. So, Carson, thank you so much for joining me. This was great. Best of luck. Anything you want to plug, or where can people find you on social media as they lead up to the draft, and maybe once their favorite team perhaps drafts you at the NFL?
I mean, I got a pretty dormant Instagram account in the first place.
Great to hear.
There's not much great going to hear. On.
I love that. No, that's even better. That's the best answer you could possibly give. I'm on it. I just have to be. It's my deal with the devil.
Yeah.
So I'm envious of you. But no, Carson, best of luck with everything in the future. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
All right. We are closing it out today. Thanks to Carson. And thank you to you, Charles, Mr. Four Verts. We're going to be back on Thursday previewing quarterbacks, the stars, kind of, with Dane Brugler from The Athletic, who's going to be wrapping up the beast this week. So he might be a little tired when we talk to Dane, but it's going to be exciting because we're going to talk quarterbacks.
Dane gets no excuse.
Oh, boy. This is Dane's Super Bowl on top of the normal Super Bowl. But yeah, Dane's rolling right now. But yeah, we're going to talk all the quarterbacks, guys at the top, all throughout the day two grab bag, as I like to call them. It'll be fun, though. Such a fun group to talk about. But I am Nate Tice. You can find me at Nate_Tice on Twitter, Nate Tice on Blue Sky. Charles, where can they find you? What are you working on this week as well?
You can find me on Blue Sky for Vert, working on a dual Carter profile and a bunch of other stuff. Honestly, I don't remember all the top of my head, but you know, the usual. Check out everything we're doing here. Check out everything Charles Robinson and Joy Epstein are doing with owners meetings this week down there. And you know, if you're really into tush push news, definitely go check out their work. So that's all I got. You know, usual spiel.
Can't escape it. Can't escape it. Can't get an article about Y Cross. We got 500 things about Tush Push.
That's right.
just every breakdown of it. Hey, they won their Super Bowl. We can move on. I'm agnostic with it. I don't totally agree with taking out certain plays. Hey, just defend it. You got to defend what's in front of you. And if it's legal, it's legal. But also one of those things, hey, at least they got their Super Bowl. So it's not like, hey, we took away one of their weapons. But anyways, yeah. But make sure to check out everybody's stuff. We got a ton of good stuff coming up. I mean, we got baseball as well going on. NBA coming up. Playoffs, come on Timberwolves, get to the top 6 seed. And we got our football stuff as well, but also send those questions to our mailbag, football301mailbag@yahoosports.com, or leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Got a couple good ones this past week. I'm excited to get to those. Subscribe to us, follow us, rate us, watch us on YouTube on the Yahoo Sports YouTube channel. You can do both, listen to podcasts, watch us on YouTube. You know, it helps. We appreciate it. Charles appreciate it. I appreciate it. Everyone behind the scenes appreciate it. And thank you to everyone behind the scenes. Thank you for making us look good and sound good. Thank you to everyone for listening. We will see you on Thursday with quarterbacks.